At this juncture, we're going to go into the Q&A portion of our call. And so what you get to do at this point is, if you have any questions, you get to input them into the box. And if you desire to be, actually, there might be some of you that I invite into the call itself, and at that point you can press star 2 and it'll allow me to unmute you. And so the reason why we're doing this via this methodology is that allows me to ask you guys live the questions instead of just taking them via the box. It lets you be able to come in and ask the questions. So one of the questions I have is, what do you say to a prospect who tells you and shows you they already know what your business is all about? Okay. This is from Joanna. Joanna, I'm going to see if I can... Are you on the line? Press star 2 if you're on the line. Okay, I'm not seeing your hand raised here. So here's what we do with somebody who says that they already have what our business is all about. Here's some key verbiage. If they're already talking to you, one of the reasons why I want to bring you on the line is to find out where they are in the process. Where are they along that baseball diamond? If they're at the very beginning, have they approached you? Have you approached them? Because if they've been engaged in any kind of conversation, my question is always, what has piqued your interest about what you've heard? One of the key questions, you want to be able to ask people the question, what piques their interest? You want to find out always, how has the prospect already sold themselves? Instead of you coming from a salesman perspective, you find out how have they already sold themselves, because that's going to be the most powerful tool for them to being able to hold them to the highest version of themselves and taking inspired action to work with you. Are the words of why they have, or how they have already sold themselves. Now, they won't say, this is how I've sold myself, but I'm telling you, whatever they say when you ask the question, what has piqued your interest so far? That is how they've sold themselves. You're going to see it blooms into other things that you discover about it. Another key question that I ask is, well, what's the bigger picture of what's going on in your life right now to get to this place? Because the bottom line is, maybe this person says, well, I already know about your business. I already know what this is all about. They're basically saying, I think I know what that boat is made out of. And what that's about. Well, that's not really the discussion. The discussion is, do they have a pain in their life? If someone does not describe their situation as something that they want to change, I am not, and you are not, in the convincing business. If someone loves their life exactly the way that it is, it's like, God bless you. Great. I'm so happy for that. That's not the case with a lot of other people. I'm here to help the ones who are not happy with their life. So if this person's dead set that they love their life the way that it is, okay, great. But if they've described a pain and where do they want to get to, that's really the conversation at hand. I would draw the questions away from my business and the opportunity, because they think they know what it's all about, and get more curious about their world. So they might say, well, I already know what, and I know Joanna's in Arbonne, for instance. And so she might say, Joanna, you know what? No, I'm not interested. I already know what Arbonne's all about. Cool. That's great. Tell me, so you looked at it. She might say, well, yeah, of course. I already looked at it. So what, how'd you even look? I'm curious about that. She might share then, well, my sister-in-law brought me to it. So I'm let's take Arbonne off the table. My heart is just that people get to accomplish and create what they want most in life. And a lot of people, especially right here at the beginning of the year, they're making goals of things that they want to be different. Are you loving everything as it is? You just are coming from a place of service, you're coming from a place of curiosity, you're coming from a place of, are they really on Pain Island? Do they really want something else? You're not attached to your company. The more attached you are to your company as being the solution, the more you're going to feel like you have to convince them. So take away the convincing and just bring the mind of the influencer in, Joanna. Bring the mind of the influencer, the hands of the influencer, the mind of curiosity, the hands of service, and say, okay, well, what is going on? What do you know about it? I'm curious. What do you know about it? What was your experience? You know, just having an innocent, inquisitive heart that is not attached to defending our company will have them open up. What else? What other questions might I be able to answer? If there's anyone on the line who has a question, you can press star 2. It'll let me see that you have a question and I can unmute you if you don't want to type it in. Well, cool. I'm going to just stay on a little bit longer in case there's any other questions. If not, we will end the line, but I want to make sure that if you have a question that you don't delay in getting in. I don't think this is delayed in coming in, so okay. One of the inputs was looking forward to diving into each step of the baseball diamond. Yes, we are going to do that. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there could be some resources that I will make available to you so that you can have access to those and get a preview and make certain, like if there's a specific one, if there, even now, if there's one of those that you have a question about that I can answer on this Q&A, even before we get to that specific one for the teaching, I'm happy to. You want to look at your company and what tools and resources you have. So let's say, for instance, like I knew whenever I was working full, and they can look like different things for each person. This is, for instance, what it looked like for me. When I worked my corporate job and I had my franchise, I could only work my business to and from my commute to work and lunchtime. So my peaking interest, at that time I was not building online, my peaking interest was calling somebody up and piquing their interest. And I have a 5-step formula for calling somebody up who is in your warm market. And so there's a little formula for piquing interest. And it's in essence, you know, well, let me see if I can. I didn't put it here. I don't have it here to go over. It's going to be in our next week's. But I have a little 5-step process when you're calling somebody up. So that would be my peak interest. If they showed any interest, I would book an appointment for when we could connect next. And that would be usually on my commute to or from work. I would say, okay, let me send you a product. And in the meantime, you know, let's plan. What, can you talk? And I usually had 7:30 in the morning or 5:30 at night. Those are my times. And I would book every single one, every single day, with a conversation with somebody. And I would call as many people as I could in one setting to pique interest. So I would try to, you know, if I had 7:30 in the morning, my commute from 7:30 to 8, I would call the people that I was trying to reach during that time or after work from 5:30 to 6 or 6 to 6:30, and I would call people during that and pique interest of as many people as possible, get a product in their hand, and get the next appointment booked where we were having a brief conversation about what it was. That was a piquing interest. And then generally from there, it was like, okay, you know, next step could be at that point they've gotten the product, because sometimes I would mail it or arrange to get it to them, letting them try it a few days, and getting them on a three-way phone call could be more information, or them coming to a meeting, or them hearing an audio or an online call with more information. And by then they had an idea, okay, this is, you know, I would gauge their interest based on what you're hearing on a level of 1 to 10. What's your interest level? Okay, great. What would it take for you to be a 10? Or what's still outstanding for you to question and ask and know that this is right for you? Okay, awesome. No matter what the response was, this is what I recommend next. You're being the leader. You're guiding them. And then you get to that close, and there's an entire script that I have for that, where you're able to do it in such a way where you're guiding them to what's the solution that's best for them, and then helping them achieve rank. Those were all the steps of how it looked that way. If you've done the online launch formula, you've already piqued interest. You may have people who've reached out to you. You're finding out at this point, rather than going into all the details about your company, you're finding out what piqued your interest. What did you hear that you resonated with? What did I say that you liked? Those are all questions to ask. I'm curious, what has you reach out to me? Do you see that this is using the mind and the ears as the influencer to see, if they sent me a message or if they showed up on my launch, there was something that was going on in their world, even if it was a curiosity, there's something going on in their world and I'm curious about what that is. Somebody said, I've approached a great friend of mine who has piqued an interest by attending my presentation and became a client. I asked her all the right questions. She told me all about her pain island, yet she justifies that all her pain island is now a choice since she would not join the business. Sometimes, this is the thing. This is really interesting. Okay, there's the psychology. Like, there's things that we hold on to in our pain island world where we get a payoff from it. We get a payoff from it. And I'll give you an example. I used to get completely overburdened in my network marketing business at times, and I had to grow out of it and learn how to change that pattern. And that's the stuff that I teach in the home base session with you guys of how to work with your team. But I used to get overburdened by basically having a team that was very dependent on me. And so I would get worn out. I would cross boundaries that I did not want to cross. Like, I had, you know, I remember one Sunday saying I was going to be home. I stayed home from church. My husband went and took the kids. I was like, I just need to rest. I'm exhausted. And what ended up happening was one of my team members came over, and I was trying to help her get to the first rank. And so I helped her input like half a dozen orders, and I was completely frustrated at myself. Like, how, you know, there's something about service, yes, but when we do it at such a level where we're exhausting ourselves and crossing our own boundaries, we have to look at that. And so here was something that was a pain island for me, but that client of yours, she might be describing things as a pain island, but she might not be ready to make a motion on them, because there might potentially be a payoff she's getting in that pain island. So me, my payoff, when I really got honest, was I liked feeling important to my team. I loved them feeling the support that they got from me, getting the results that they got from being connected to me, all of that. That made me feel good. And so I realized that I was creating a dependent nature in my own team, even though that was a pain island experience for me, because I got a pleasure out of it. And when I had to decide that I wanted to get that pleasure met a different way, or that I did not need to have that measure, that I was basically, you know, creating a codependency whenever I really wanted to feel valuable, I had to say, Vanessa, how can you know your value apart from other people's feedback, positive or negative? How can you be so solid in knowing who you are that it's independent of feedback from the world, from people? And that has been a growth journey for me. It's been so huge. And so once I was able to do that, I was able to make decisions that were honoring of me, that were honoring of my family. Because I was fearful, oh, well, they're going to think I've abandoned them. And I realized, Vanessa, you've abandoned yourself. You've abandoned your family. You've abandoned your kids because of this very strong need to feel valuable. So it could be the same thing with your client. She's told you all about her pain island, and yet there might be a pleasure that she gets from it. Maybe she gets to play victim, and that's her pleasure. Maybe she gets to blame her husband or some other part of her life, and that just keeps her in victim mode. Like, there's a huge payoff we get playing victim. It means we're not taking personal responsibility for what we've created or owning the fact that we can be a creator and change it. So I always have compassion because I know that I could, at times in my life, be tempted by being a victim. So have compassion. Maybe her payoff is being able to just stay in victim mode and want somebody to come and save her, want somebody to magically wave a magic wand for her and change the circumstance. So you can't want something for somebody else more than they want it for themselves. You can only love her right where she's at and support her in showing the vision of what's possible for her and the possibility. And she has to come to the point of saying, yes, I'm ready to take action on it. Because I'll tell you, it's a miserable feeling convincing somebody to join your business, because if you've convinced them to join it, you've convinced them to stay. You've convinced them to push against the resistance when they're trying to hit that first level. Or maybe they've hit a level of rank and now they've lost volume, they've gone backwards. Then you have to convince them that they can do it again. It's a miserable existence working in a convincing role. It's not worth it. I'm telling you, if your client is already, if they're in that state where they'd rather put their heels in and stay exactly where they're at, love them right where they're at. And just say, she's not ready. Obviously, she's not ready. But if she's saying, my God, I've got to figure out a way to get out of my situation. I have got to figure out. Then you can ask the question, are you serious about that? Because I love you, girl. But I've heard you say that for a long time now. And if it's something you're really serious about, then I have to. I have to serve you, and you getting a chance to look at what it is I'm doing and that being a potential option for you. I'm not saying it's the answer, but if you're seriously on a journey to figure out what the answer is to getting out of the situation that you're in, then it would be my pleasure to show you this and why it's worked for so many people so that you can have the information you need to make the decision that's best for you, so that you can cross it off the list as an option or do it if it's the best option for you. But if you're really committed to making a change, then I know there's an answer for you. And as your friend, as your service provider, as your esthetician, as your whatever is your relationship with her, then you know, especially when you're in a position of doing the skin, as I know that you are, you can say, look, what's happening right here on your skin, like all this is a manifestation of what's going on the inside. Like if we really got to the inside, like the radiance that would come out, the breakouts that would stop, the glow that could come from your skin, when all of that's in alignment on the inside of you, I know it's beautiful. I know it's beautiful. So I can totally help you in just taking care of this outside part, and I love doing that, as you know, and I'm good at it. But if you want help like creating that complete radiance and glow that I know that you have from the outside, get creating it at a magnificent level coming from the inside out, then let's take care of this. Is this your year? Is this when you're going to do it? I'm here for you. I believe in you. This is what I have gotten about who you are as a person. And that's when the mouth of the influencer comes in, the mouth that speaks words of life and inspires her, the vision of who you see her to be. I hope that was helpful. But those are just some ideas. Had a gal who we were getting ready to get started when we met. She said, okay, here's what I can spend. Can you help me sign up? Well, she started the process. However, she had another appointment, so she left. We've gone back and forth via text saying, yes, let's finish this week, which was 3 weeks ago. Never heard back after that. She never returned my calls. I sent a friendly text following up, but she's never responded. Her pain was she was tired of working 60 to 80 hours in the restaurant business and wants to start a family and felt Arbonne is her answer. Now, I'm not sure what happened because I can't seem to get a hold of her anymore. Do I just let it be? A month and a half has passed since we originally met. Great question. Stop texting. Call. Even if you get voicemail and just say, hey girl, I don't know what's happened. When we met a month and a half ago, I know that you were so exhausted about working 60 to 80 hours in your restaurant business. Maybe you figured out a way to resolve that and to find a solution to that. If that's the case, oh my gosh, I'm thrilled. I want to know that so I can celebrate with you. I know that you were considering Arbonne at one point. Is that still the case? Or do you still need some more information to really know that it's the right choice for you? If that's the case, I'm here to support you. But no matter what, I am committed to you getting out of that position that you're in of exhaustion of 60 to 80 hours of working the restaurant business. No matter how you do it, just know that my heart is for you in that. That's what I would say if I left a message. Because you're going back to your commitment to who they are as a person. You're speaking the vision of what's possible. You're not attached to whether or not they're attached to you. They do your company. I would not give up on her, though. You said, should I just let it go? No. But I would stop texting, and I would actually pick up the phone and call and leave a message like that. Thank you, Vanessa. How do you best pique interest for those who do not return calls or respond to invitations? How often do you continue to try staying in honor to yourself? You know, here's the thing. I was persistent whenever I called people and, you know, even followed up. Like, I always gave them the benefit of the doubt. This is the mentality I had. People are busy. Like, they got their lives. Things are going a million miles a minute. They got so many demands. They may, you know, even though they may have expressed pain island at some point, they may not be honoring of themselves to really take time to slow down and get in touch with that they can create something different or that they want to create something different. And so I always gave people the benefit of the doubt. It's not on the forefront of their mind. It's not personal that they're not calling me back. They're just busy. And it's my role as a service provider to make this as easy as possible for them. Make it as easy as possible for them to get the information to make the decision that's best for them and keep them moving along in the process. I always think, how can I make this as easy as possible for them? So one of the mistakes that people make is they say, you know, they make first base, taking a peek, going to a meeting or meeting at the coffee shop for 45 minutes, and then they wonder why people don't show up. No. Make it as easy as possible. Say, look, okay, well, this is what I recommend. Let's say that you piqued their interest effectively. This is what I recommend. I want to be honoring of your time, and I want to be honoring of my time. So what I would love you to do is, you know, let's set some time aside. Let's say 20 minutes where we can connect briefly, and you can get an idea better what this is like. And at that point, you'll know whether or not something you want to proceed in learning more about or if it's not for you. And if it's not for you, great. You haven't wasted a lot of your time or mine. But it gives us an idea, it'll give you a chance to take a peek, take a look, and see if it piques your interest like it did mine. So always make first base brief, 30 minutes or less, usually by phone. Usually something that could be done over the internet by phone, but made it as first base as easy as possible. So my question is, if any of these people who, what are your invitations? Are your invitations come to an opportunity meeting? People don't like to commit at that level. That's usually a second base kind of a step. So have they taken a first peek? Have they taken a look just at a basic level to show, indicate an interest? So if someone's not returning calls, I would ask you, have you even piqued their interest? Okay. Don, are you still on here? Because I want to bring you on the line if I can. Can you press star 2? Oh, here we go. I don't know if this is you. Oh, goodness. I see a hand raised. I'm going to pick it. Hello? Oh. No. Here we go. Okay. Here's the number, 908. You should be unmuted. Can you speak up?
Hi, it's Dawn.
Oh, yay, it's the right one. Okay, Dawn. So tell me. I'm so glad it worked out because that's not the number. It says Dragoness Sakrat is the name or something on here. So tell me a little bit more about this question that you're asking. Have you piqued their interest at all? And they said, yeah, I want to take a look, and then aren't returning calls, or have you not even gotten them to return your calls so they can hear anything to be have an interest piqued? Tell me about that.
It's definitely the latter. And first of all, hi, everybody that's on the line, and thank you, Vanessa, for the call. It's really the latter. We are always encouraged to get our contacts organized and get people written down and carry your list with you, which are all really great things. And, my messages are very concise. They're, excited in nature, but basically asking for the time to speak with them. And more often than not, there is, and I understand, I definitely get that people are busy, because I was that person that was very, very difficult to get in touch with. My girlfriend that introduced the business to me and shared it with me had to meet me at the gym. We had to work out together for us to have that first exposure, for me to even take it to the second, and then eventually to start my business. So I understand, the busy factor, but it's more of the return calls or a few, it's not coming back from even an initial a phone call from someone
on
my list.
So what's happening is everyone on your weekly activity sheet are staying in that first column, and they're not even getting, you're not even checking off the first box. So that is the problem, right? So what you're not doing effectively is piquing interest effectively. So this is, we're going to go into that in our next call, but let me at least give you something that you can tangibly implement now. And that is, every single person who's on your list, I want you to think of why it is they're on your list. I want you to think of what it is that made you think of them. Have they ever expressed any pain in the past that you knew that they wanted to find a solution for? Or how can you articulate it from their world perspective? Because right now, you leaving a message that says, hey, I want to connect with you, says, there's something I want. There's something I want. And you want to come from a place of, hey, there's something for you that I haven't, that might be for you. So you want to come from the place of what is it for them. And so when you say, hey, I want to talk to you, do you have a few minutes to connect? Say, hey, look, the last time we talked, you had shared this. I am calling because I don't know, is that still the case for you? Or, you bring up, maybe it's a compliment. My goodness. The way that you handled that fundraising event at the school was so impressive. I'm amazed at the person that you are. It would do me an honor for you to take a look at what we have here. Because I just know you're the kind of person who you know somebody who could be served by this. You're so well connected. Or, hey, I'm calling you to see who do you know that is, and then you describe what you're looking for, but you're doing it from the perspective of their world. Always try to do it on a live call versus leaving messages like that, but it even works to leave messages like that. But I used to strategically think of every single person and think of what was the magical thing I could say about what's going on in their world that would have them know I was calling for something of benefit and interest to them. Do you want to give me like one name on your list and I can walk you through it?
Sure. Your last response about Cane Island. I have a contact in Manhattan that extremely well connected. and has consistently expressed her pains, you know, not being able to live the life they want to live in New York. It's very expensive. They make good money, but, you know, they're always continuing to have to use the credit card to get to the end of the month and put groceries on it, and they're not traveling, and they're not doing this, and they're not doing that. And yet, time after time, when we talk about the business, it's, I'm not ready yet, or, you know, let me see what I can try to change, things like that. So that's just one example that I was helped from your previous response. But I have another contact who expresses on Facebook consistently how unhappy she is about just her work situation. It doesn't look like she's unhappy with her family life or anything like that, but it's consistently, would love to be home with my children. It's Sunday night, the Sunday night woes, you know, things like that. And it's vocal enough about it to put it on social media. But yet, when I do try to call her, I've invited her to many things. I really have. So maybe she's just tired of me. But when I call and I leave kind of a generic message, thinking about you, please give me a call, I'd love to connect. It's been a very, very long time of no responses at all, or a response, set up a date, and then doesn't show up or doesn't get on the call.
And are these the first step of the invitations, things that are 30 minutes or less?
Yeah. I'm asking for coffee. I'm asking, you know, come over while the kids play. You know, I haven't.
The first peaking interest, that first step is a 1 to 3 minute conversation.
Okay.
Like, if you've not piqued interest in 1 to 3 minutes, they will not say, I'm coming to coffee, I'll jump on a call, I'll do anything, unless you've effectively piqued their interest in 1 to 3 minutes. So think of, in that time, so with her, like, you've given me two scenarios. Like, I'll tell you the one in New York. I would use the edification on the magnificence of the talent that you see in her, and saying, girl, there is no way, with all that brilliance that you have, as well connected as you are and what you're doing, there is no way that you're the kind of person who should be financially challenged, as you've shared with me. And I feel honored that you would have shared that with me. And at the same time, I know that that you totally deserve to not stay right where you're at. I don't know if this is a solution for you, but I am so committed to being one of your biggest cheerleaders and fans for creating what you want most. And so I have to serve you. If you're really looking for a solution, to see if, explore if this could be something of interest to you. How are you doing? Have you found something to get that lets you fully express that magnificent talent that you have, without having the stress of the financial situation? That's an example. How's that feel? Sound?
Great.
So that's 1 to 3 minutes. That's a peak in interest. So if they start going into and they have, all you want is an agreement to take a look. At that point, you book whatever's that first appointment. So the girl on the internet, on Facebook, who's always complaining and saying, okay, you know, wants to be home with her kids, you want to go to private message and say, hey, like, I just want to tell you that I am here to support you. How are you doing? That was really concerning to me that you put that post. I just want to check in with you. Like, not even bring up your business at this point. Acknowledge her humanity and her pain, like, being there. Because if you call and you say, you know, you could potentially lose that chance, but just at least a touch in point that shows you care and are connecting to and recognizing, like, touch in and engage in the private message where you could get a chance to pique the interest. You could potentially pique it there or get her on the phone. But you want to get into her world more and step in such a way so you know what are the things that you can say to bring up this as a solution. I always make it like, I have no idea if this is the right thing that's right for you. This is what I hear is like going on and what you're looking for. This may or may not be the solution. May or may not be. But based on what you've shared, there's other people that I've worked with that have had the exact same thing and found the solution through this. And I want to show you what it's about so you can at least know what your options are. Is this something you're open to? If you take the pressure of it, it's the answer, or that you're committed to it, it has to be that. It helps them explore, at least be open to getting to first base.
Okay. So what does your message sound like if you have to leave one? And it's a very first base. Like, they don't know why you're calling. They don't know anything. It's just, what would you say?
So I would, like her, specifically?
Anyone.
I really try to catch people live. And that conversation is, while we don't have enough time to go into this, what I can do is give you the because we're running out of time on the Q&A, but it's okay. In essence it's a 5-step formula where I try to catch them live, and it's like, hey, is this a good time to catch you or not? Like, you're just basically making sure, like, is this your 1 to 3 minute window to catch them to peak interest? Hey, is this a good time to catch you? Listen, you know, you're bringing up why you thought of them. Like, I had a girlfriend, and I called her up, and I said, hey, Jill, is this a good time to catch you? I had not talked to her since college. I really believe in being upfront, like, not just chit-chatting around what you're really calling about. Mm-hmm. So here's an example. Hey, Jill, this is Vanessa. Is this a good time to connect, just briefly? Yeah, what's going on? Hey, look, I'm so excited to hear about what's going on with you and the kids, but I'm calling about something specifically. Forrest mentioned that Jason had said, I know you're very successful as a counselor and as a social worker, but that you had a heart to be home with your kids. I don't know what's going on and if you found a way to do that. I don't know if this could be of interest to you. I had the same desire for myself. And so I took a look at this company. Have you ever heard of, and I mentioned the company I was with at the time. She's like, yeah, actually I have heard about it. I go, is that still the case for you? Are you still looking for a way to be home? And she's like, well, yeah, actually I am. I go, look, I don't know if this could be right for you or not, but you are on my heart to call. If you're at least open to taking a look and seeing what it's about, it would be my honor to share with you a little bit. You know, let's set an appointment. Maybe we can talk for like 15 minutes and you can hear a little bit more and see if this is something that resonates with you the way it did me. And if she was super excited, I would say, okay, is this a good time to do it now, or is it better for us to set an appointment? Because I know I just kind of, you know, caught you off guard when I called and scheduled the appointment or went into it right then. But that was like the 1 to 3 minute conversation that got them to agree to take a look. I didn't go into the full-blown thing at that point. But I would try to catch them live where you're bringing up that, you know, you're taking the pressure. You're saying, is this the right time? This is why I thought of you. This is why it piqued my interest. It may or may not be for you. You're taking the pressure off. And then the fifth step is, if based on their response, you're making a recommendation of what to do next. That's basically the 5-point formula for someone you know.
Okay.
Does that help?
That's perfect.
So if it's someone you're leaving a message for, you know, it might be, I really try to catch them live, but if I have to leave a message, I'd be like, hey, you've been on my heart. There's something you said last time we connected, or, you know, what I saw you post on Facebook really caught my attention. I want to connect. How are you doing? Give me a call back. Give me a call back when you have 5 minutes. That's it. You're just making it like it's a brief conversation.
Thank you.
How's that feel?
Great. It was very great,
okay.
Very authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People can.
Is there anywhere where the 5-step is, I mean, I wrote notes, but is there anywhere that it's outlined for us in the program?
Yeah. That actually our next call, I mean, a lot of these questions you guys are bringing up are piquing interest, which is fantastic, and we're going to do the entire content will be will be on that, or I can get it, I can at least give you an outline version of it now. I'll get you an outline version of it.
Okay.
Somebody
that
asked a question. I may have missed. Thanks, hon. Thanks for jumping on the call. Okay. We've gone over time. I'm going to see what this next question is. I may have missed this. Call being recorded. I love what you recommended. I say to that gal who's working 60 to 80 hours in the restaurant business on her voicemail since she won't return any of my calls. I agree with the text, and no more texting seemed to be the only way she responded to me. I would love to replay what you shared with me. Thanks, Vanessa. I've been told to keep messages short so they call me back, but that's not working anymore. Yeah, this is recorded. You can get that specific verbiage off of this. It'll be available to you. I had somebody on PM on Facebook who said she was messaging back about your last post you put on Facebook. I'm always looking for a way to love what I do. So okay, I had an old friend private message me on Facebook a few months back. I posted something and she messaged me saying about your last post you put on Facebook. I'm always looking for a way to love what I do, so I did respond back, telling her I'd love to catch up and chat so I can share a little more with her. She never responded, and I tried following up a couple more times, but again, she never responded. This has happened to me a few times with others on Facebook. They write me. Then when I reach out, they ignore me. Okay, this is the dynamic of Facebook. Sometimes people they don't want to commit. Like, sometimes people feel like if they did jump on the phone that they are committing. And so whatever is your natural way that you would have interacted with somebody, so let's say, like, you know, you meet somebody through Facebook and you're connecting through Facebook, you know them through Facebook, and you've messaged through Facebook, you don't want to go into email communication, or you don't want to go into texting communication. Like, you want to keep it, like, where they have the know, like, and trust factor as strong as possible already. And so in that position, like, if somebody reaches out to one of my posts, I always ask the question, like, you don't want to go into sharing. Like, they've reached out to you. When it's hot, you want to turn it back around and say, I'm curious. Like, I can tell you all the time it happens with me as a coach. People reach out and say, what is it that you know, I want to hear more about coaching with you. I want to do this or I want to do that. I sign me up or this or that. I'm like, hang on. Like, you want to slow it down. What, I'm curious. What had you reach out? What are you interested? What's going on? Tell me what's going on in your world. What had you reach out? What is it that resonated about that? So you want to ask the question so you can get a better idea of what's going on in her world. And so then you get to say, oh, okay, I'm getting what you're saying. Look, you know, let's jump on the phone. Do you have 15 minutes? I would love to explore this further with you, or you can just share. If they are not responsive to that, like, you do not want a paragraph answer after they've messaged you the first time. If they're not engaging in a question back, then just know that could be the nature of Facebook, but you want your very next response to be questions. Do not go into your thing until you've gotten as much as you can from them and what's going on in their world. That's how it works most powerfully. So I hope that helped. At this point, we will end the call. But if you have other questions, come back to this screen because you can input the questions. It helps me see what were the questions that you have in preparation for future calls and the content that we have for those, but also just making sure, you know, this, you can go on to the Facebook area, post it there, or if you put in questions here, then we can put them there as well, put the responses there if they haven't been answered. So blessings to you today. Thank you for being on the call, and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.